at that. 10 past three. That's unheard of. My God. It's the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple, everything that's gone, all the fun that's been had, and this is the penultimate Mac Show from this BTN Towers. The next time you hear us, it will be the last Mac Show, and the time after that, it's going to be a brand new studio, which I've went and seen today, which is actually nearly finished. So they're putting the carpets in tomorrow afternoon, and then that's it. I sign for it on Monday, and I get the keys, and I'm so excited. If you'd like to come and help set it up, then all you've got to do is be here on Sunday, May the 31st, and you can help set it up. And I will buy you a curry afterwards at 5 o'clock over at the Kismet. There you go, for your help. Thank you very much if you can come to Birmingham and do it. If you can't, don't worry. I'll buy you a curry another time. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, what a great panel. We've got top left on upload modem issues, but soldiering on manfully as ever, of course, the utterly professional, oh, he's gone, there we go. And I cued that right, didn't I? Adam Christensen, how the devil are you, mate?
Pissed. I'm pissed. And I mean in a good way, like you guys mean.
I was going to say, you know, in the UK, that means drunk, right?
Yeah,
but yeah, I know. I mean, in the American, I'm very angry way because my bandwidth issues, I don't know what to do. I've been dealing with this for 2 weeks or 3 weeks now. I've reset modems. I've done just about everything I know how to, and I can't get good at upload bandwidth. My download's fine. I can't get up.
Yeah, we're gonna give you a new nickname now. You're going to be called 8-Bit.
8-Bit Christian. Yeah,
just so you know, that doesn't help.
I can't believe after 10 years of podcasting and his happy-go-lucky self, we get him when he's really, really had enough. Sorry, mate. But you do realise, of course, in the true nature of BTN, when you're at your lowest, that's when we'll keep kicking you.
And now my keyboard won't connect over Bluetooth either, so...
Oh, man.
I was talking to Kevin from MacFun last night, and he was saying, Adam, that guy knows everything. Everything. Everything that's technical. Anything to do with Macs, he knows it.
Well, what really pisses me off is the ultimate fix to this means I call the cable company and have the guy out.
Oh.
I absolutely hate, because it's goddamn at this point, because I've done everything that I can do on this side. So,
does your cable company wait till you go to the toilet and then put a sign in the door saying we tried to call you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And when they give you the window here, right, we'll be there somewhere. Ours is literally between 8 and 4. And I'm like, you do realize I have other things to do that day, right? Like, you can't get any closer. Like, we got GPSs and all of the phones, all of the trucks. Like, you know where your guys are, but you won't tell me. It drives me insane.
That's when they say to you, Doc, we're going to be there at between 8 a.m. and 4. And you're like, 8 a.m.? No, it's p.m. And they go, no, there's 2 8 o'clocks in the day. Really?
So you guys don't need to know more about my get on to everybody else.
Okay, we'll do. Around over here. Next to him, Andy and Natco. How's it going, buddy?
It's going pretty good. Although your intro kind of confused me. Like, if given the setup of your studio, does moving in a new studio mean that you're just going to switch out the JPEG you're using as your green screen right now for a different JPEG, or is there actual boxes and stuff?
Oh, you got me. Shit. What I was going to do, I've got to admit here, I was thinking about going in Photoshop and just a bit of hue and saturation change on the brick so it looked like a different bricks. Maybe turn it upside down, no?
Well, maybe the fancy schmancy thing is that you'll at least have like two backgrounds, so that, and one of them you've actually used Photoshop to highlight the live sign so it looks like it's turned on.
Hang on.
I don't have a whole lot of money for my own studio, but I got the budget for a second JPEG, so you really inspired me.
Well, now hang on, mate, because here you go. Look, I need to change the screen. It's not the one that I can use today, but look, see, I can make it flash.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
You see? Uh-huh. You should be like one of the guys on Dragon's Den, because you've got that entrepreneurial spirit. You're a problem solver.
the
spirit. Incubate a struggling business and to turn it into an international powerhouse.
The spirit's always been willing, mate. But no, the thing that I'm going to lose is this kind of crap keying effect from shadows, because the new green screen is going to be like 8 to 10 feet behind me. And properly lit by itself, so none of this is going to be there. I should key out a lot better than I did, and I do pretty well considering I can touch the green screen. I'm nearly sat next to it. So now you're getting delivery, aren't you?
Excuse me?
You're getting delivery, you think?
Like sometime between, you know, 8, 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., the cable guy comes. It's like, unfortunately, I don't have a specific time that my Apple Watch is coming. It's just going to be sometime today. And Lord knows, it's like I've already got like, I'm testing out Microsoft Band. So in addition to like the smartwatch that I wear every day because I like it, I also am wearing pretty much every day like a Microsoft Band on my right wrist. So it's not as though I even have a wrist available for a third smartwatch. It's okay if I have to like wait until tomorrow and like sign the little door hanger. But there's something about, I get so few human visitors here. You know, I work out of my home office and it's just nice to have human contact. You're sort of like that Arctic explorer at that scientific research station that I don't want somebody to get lost and need to like come to my little cabin in the middle of nowhere. But on the other hand, it would be nice to have someone else to talk to just for this one day before reprovisioning them, radioing with my satellite phone that he is okay, and then sending him back on his way.
So by the end of the day, you're going to look like one of those dodgy blokes down at the markets that comes up to you and goes, do you want to buy a Rolex, mate? And and he's got like 8 of them up his sleeve.
No, see, I was talking about this to somebody yesterday that I happened to meet somebody yesterday on the train back from my meeting he saw that I had a couple of different phones and asked, hey, why do you have so many phones? I said, well, I'm a tech reviewer and a couple of these are loaners. As a matter of fact, I just picked up this as yet unreleased phone that I'm going to be testing out. And he said, I'm a developer. I just went to, and he's telling me about this incredible like fitness band that he found for like $11 that you can only get, that he was told you can only get in China. But of course, as soon as he came back home, he realized that, oh, well, anything that could be bought in China, somebody will buy like 100 of them and put them on like Amazon or eBay.
Mm.
It's sort of like taking all the allure out of like the fake Rolex market and the counterfeit iPhone market, because that's still my favorite souvenir of my trip to Beijing, a perfect pitch perfect knockoff of an iPhone 3GS. But nonetheless, if I thought it was cool to have one of those, as soon as I got home, I could have like saved myself $1,800 worth of airfare and a $300 visa fee. One click ordering. If I wait 3 weeks. Okay.
That'll do. Now I've got to say, we've reported on some of the Apple cockups with the watch, but I have to say, not sending an Apple Watch to Andy and Natco until the 14th of May has to be the biggest they could have possibly achieved.
I'm quite serious. That's not a mistake. There's a piece that I've had to delay a couple of times because the piece is about how every time that I see someone write a piece about how Apple controls the media and how Apple like is stingy about who they invite to media events and who gets blessed with review hardware on the first day, I always respond by thinking, okay, well, none of that is really true. A couple of the things that you said are kind of BS, and the rest of them are, well, like, duh. You know, it's not like it's an entitlement. But the thing is, like, I wrote this piece, I think that, okay, so 3 or 4 weeks after this piece I'm responding to has been forgotten, because I don't want to make it into attack against anyone else, that's when I'll hold on to this, and that's when I'll post this. And then, of course, and then as soon as I plan on posting it, then another person writes another one of these things. So I'm flattered that people think that, oh, if there anybody should be getting hardware early, it should be you, Andy Anatko. But it's not an entitlement. Every time something new gets released, even from Apple, I've got a plan A if I get one early. I got a plan B if I get one on the day it's released. I got a plan C if I have to wait a couple weeks. And I even have a plan D in case it looks like they're not going to be able to provide me with hardware. And then I decide to either buy one on my own or I find a way to borrow one from someone for a few weeks.
There we go. So we've massaged Andy's ego, and with a bit of luck, by the end of the show, he'll have a happy ending.
I'll take half of that in cash.
Angela's going to get a right kicking from Tim, says Deep Pan. So there you go. Next to him, Doc. How you doing, pal? Doc Rock from Hawaii, 4 a.m. Thank you, mate.
Doing good, man. As good as one can do at the unsettling hour of 4 a.m. without watching footy. But yeah, great. I'm super excited. We're having a good week and ready to rock.
Double helping a Doc today because you're back on the big show later.
Yeah, you know, screw all the sleeping. I can just do BTN all day. I'm going to set like a marathon. Excellent. I'm going to do my shows in one day.
And last but by no means least, with new lighting akimbo, Patrice Brendamore. How you doing?
I've had that on last week. I don't know what you mean. I mean, well, last week my Skype connection was crap, so probably you probably couldn't see it.
Maybe the wind was dominating a bit more last week, and I didn't notice. Good seeing in glorious softness and technicolour. Superb.
Yeah.
Stories of the week. A few complaints last week about spending too much time on the watch again, but it's the big news. But we're going to do watch a bit later, so stay with us. First story to talk about, really, is 15-inch MacBook Pros with Retina displays. The supply is running out. Broadwell refresh is allegedly coming. Is there an expected date on this yet? And I've missed the rumour. Or if they said June, perhaps, don't they? Just before WWDC, maybe. And is there anything else coming other than Broadwell?
As far as I know, no. I mean, Broadwell was is expected to be released either this month or in June. So, I mean, that's probably why. But other than that,
I mean, does would we fear for the fact that there might actually be a hold off until WWDC, and then there might be something even bigger coming, or is it just a processor regrade and that's it, really, Andy?
I'm trying to remember if the Force Touch upgrade came to just the 13s or the 13s and the 15 already. If they haven't come to the 15, you're certainly going to see that on every single thing that has a trackpad, and then everything that has a touchscreen. So that's something to look forward to. I don't think that Apple's priority is really on the 15 at this point. So I'm not even sure that I don't necessarily think that they would discontinue the 15, but I think that it's the sort of thing that they mentioned in a press release that they've upgraded, as opposed to something that they even spend any amount of time on stage with somebody in a artfully top button, unbuttoned, expensive shirt explaining.
Has anyone had a go with Force Touch when it's not on?
Yeah. Excuse me,
when it's not on. That's you know when you're at the airport, right, and there's like a moving walkway that isn't running, and when you step on it, your brain goes, hang on, that ain't right. That's what Force Touch is like, because you sit there and hit it, and it feels like a normal trackpad. But when you turn the computer off, you touch it, and it's rock solid. And it's like, that's not right. It should move. It's like a walkway that's stopped, or a set of escalators.
I had one of those really, so there are times where I'm being briefed on something, and I have to like ask the stupid questions and look like a total idiot to this executive or this engineer, because I don't want to look like an idiot in public. And so I tried the Force Touch. I refused to believe there was nothing mechanical of any kind inside there. So I had to ask three questions in a row. Starting with, so there's nothing, there's no movement whatsoever of that glass surface. No, there's not even like an air gap in between there. That's not electronic at all. It's just an air gap. No. So you're telling me that if I have the Force Touch keyboard, the trackpad in front of me underneath my left hand, and I unplug the MacBook, there's no power to it whatsoever, and I have a sheet of glass underneath my right hand, and I press them both at the same time, I will feel no different between the difference between that sheet of inert glass and this non-powered up trackpad. And he said, yes, you will not feel any difference. And I'm like, I am, because I don't know if there's anybody who still hasn't at least gone to an Apple store and tried it, but it is the biggest, I will use the polite language, biggest mind freak Apple has ever released.
It is.
Because the brain does not want to believe that you are not feeling a click.
Yeah,
it is amazing.
And getting back to the MacBook, Andy, one thing you said, Apple, you said that Apple doesn't focus on the 15-inch. I think the one time where Apple could mention it would be WWDC. Because that is I would guess that is the intended or the biggest audience for the 15-inch MacBooks. It's the developers and journalists and all of the geeks, basically.
I think they would mention it. I'm not sure if they would even have it up on stage in physical form, but that's just, you know, having a conversation about it. It's also, I'm surprised that when I go to developer conferences. And I used to go to developer, over the years, I have seen people travel with 17-inch, you know, the USS Saratoga sized MacBook Pros. And whenever I look out at the tables of people and I'm mingling and just hanging out for 3 or 4 days, I almost never see somebody with a 15-inch. Maybe that is a self-selecting group of people who had to travel 3,000 miles to get here. So maybe that's insignificant, but I'm surprised at people who are running Xcode even on 13-inch MacBook Airs. So
yeah,
Yeah, no,
I mean, I personally, I wish they still would make a 17-inch because, I mean, I'm not dragging it around as much as I did in the past. So the bigger screen would probably be better for me.
Mm.
That's just me.
I want a Mac Pro that's portable.
Well, you could put it in your backpack.
Well, no,
because I mean, it kind of is, but yeah.
No, I'm sitting figuring because I've got a case that's a wheel trolley for all my camera gear, and there's a pouch in the front of it, and the pouch I reckon would take a 21-inch screen. So, and the center section is for like a super zoom lens, and it's the same diameter. It's 6 inches in diameter, so it would take a full Mac Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, instead of doing that, but then again, you know, there is the odd time where I turn up at a desk and. You know, a lot of the desks I turn up, there is a screen already there, but it's low retina. But it's I think that would be cool. I still want it, but I don't know.
Have you ever tried traveling with the any one of these utilities that lets you use an iPad as a second screen? Because one of the nicest things about I often travel with just an iPad, but I will have I have an iPad and I will also have like an iPad mini or some sort of second tablet because I'm using the second one as a book reader. But it's not until I started traveling that way that I realized how much I enjoy having two screens on my little hotel desk where one is just Twitter or one is just the video I'm watching and the other is the work that I'm actually doing. And ever since I bought, I think it was Air Display. I don't need fast interactivity, but just having that second little like psychological, just like in my home office, I've got more than one screen. That's okay. I've got tool palettes over here. Or I've got email over here. It's everything is fine. I feel like I'm traveling like Cher or a Kardashian, like the amount of luxury that I'm enjoying traveling with multiple monitors.
Is that an aspiration to be a Kardashian? I'm not sure it is.
I'd like to aim a little bit higher than that. I want the money. And I want the ability to do pretty much whatever I want without having to accept any criticism of my behavior, but everything else I could leave behind. Cosmetic surgery at age 30, I feel as though I've transcended that.
Well,
at least 15 years.
Based on the fact that woman's ass comes through the door 30 seconds after she does, she leaves an awful lot behind her as well. There is a case, the Mac Pro Go case from Waterfield that's been put in the chat room. Thank you, Deep Pan. But the case, I mean, it's just a bag and it's $129. Oh man.
Oh, it's not the most expensive bag I ever bought.
Yeah, no, good point. My camera bag's 220 odd quid or something. So yeah, all right, fair point. So we don't think there's anything else coming. So that's a bit of a non-story then, I suppose. Now then, we have had an upgrade to Yosemite. There is a bump to developers to 10.4, is it?
10.10.4. Yeah.
10.10.4. Yeah. And, there's no real things that are hitting the news about it, about anything that's going on in it. But the one thing I've got to say is I've had real problems in the last 2 weeks. There was some little update came out that I thought was just video codec, but my Wi-Fi on all machines running Yosemite has gone haywire. I cannot get anything to run properly. My Air has gone into fits and starts mode. And I can't even transfer a file. You know, you get like a 20 megabyte image and drag it over and drop it. And unless you're on the source machine, it's like that 20 meg is 10 minutes.
Wow.
And I've tried deleting the plist and I've tried deleting the Wi-Fi in the network settings. No difference. Whereas that worked before. So is there something, is there an issue with Wi-Fi with Yosemite that certainly wasn't there in 10.9.
I think that the answer is definitely yes, because one of the things that I've noticed too is after the last update, like I used to use AirDrop religiously, and then I would laugh at the people who would say they don't really find AirDrop very useful. And it's really weird, like somehow after the last update, like AirDrop just never wants to work. I have to like constantly disconnect, you know, like the ability to share with anyone, then switch it to everyone, then switch to the collection. On a third switch, it'll finally catch, and it's been driving me batty because it's something that I use a lot, especially when you're like taking images, say with a higher end camera, like the mirrorless camera, and trying to use it for Instagram posts or whatever. So it's been driving me absolutely insane.
And there's definitely something wrong with the 10.10.4 update, because once I installed it on my MacBook, I can't even play YouTube videos on it. It will crash and reboot.
Right.
And it did so twice or three times a day until I managed to close the tab because it was opening it up again. So yeah. That is definitely annoying. I haven't had any Wi-Fi issues, but there is something going on.
Well, I can't play a YouTube video at 1080 without buffering constantly.
That's probably a YouTube issue because
that's my air. Because if I'm connected, if I'm a line connection, I don't get it. But if I'm trying to do it through Wi-Fi, it buffers. Andy, have you noticed anything?
Not yet. Although there's enough. Unfortunately, over the past two or three years, I think we've all left behind the idea of, oh my God, my Mac is a little bit unreliable. Something amazing has just happened, as opposed to, no, my Mac has gotten a little bit unreliable, and fortunately, it's welcome to the world. As a matter of fact, the Mac Mini that I'm using right now for this Skype chat is the last working Mac in my office that's still running 10.9 because it's running fine. There is not. I turn it on and it absolutely works. The other two or three things I use it for, which are all things that I only use this machine for, also working fine. And so, given that there aren't a whole lot of features in Yosemite that I really depend on, I much rather value this feature of a computer doing the things that I need it to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Russ in the chat room is saying, have I got any USB 3 hard drives plugged into it? Well, the answer is no, because it's my Air that's the portable one, really properly portable one. So that's not my issue. And the thing that kind of, you know, I agree with Andy there. You know, you get to a certain point where your machine gets to a certain age, and you think, okay, well, you have to accept there's a couple of glitches are going to creep in, but it's consistent and instant across all my three machines at the same time. And that's what kind of piques my ire.
Yeah, and who was it? Someone in the chat, Bronwyn, mentioned that there's also a RAM issue with Yosemite. For my MacBook, for example, Safari uses all 16 gigs of RAM. I have to reboot it about every 2 days because of that, because it just keeps it eating up. I kill the process, it frees up a little bit, and the whole system gets slower and slower over time. So there is something weird with Safari right now.
And it's definitely Safari. There's not Flash running on Safari.
No, or like that. I haven't even installed Flash.
Yeah, no. Good sound policy, mate. MacBook Air waking up from sleep connects to the wrong Wi-Fi point as well. If I switch Wi-Fi off and back on again, it improves for a while. My MacBook Pro here, the one that we're on at the moment for the broadcast, I come down to that every morning and it's restarted with a sleep wake error, and it does it if I go and have a shower and then come back down, sleep wake error.
You
know what's funny, Ewan, that you mentioned this, because I was just looking yesterday to see if there was a thing, because something I've only noticed in the last couple of days, which made me think it was more like connection, but it turns out it's not, because I've tested it on different machines. If I start a download, it will start to move really, really quickly, and I'll get down to the last 20 megs, and it will be like, it will go from like 2 minute download to turn into just like, you know, half an hour. And it's okay, whatever. I'm used to this, like old school, screw it, just walk away. But I'll walk away and I'll come back and it will have not finished. And it's because it seems as if it's turning off the any Safari downloads once the screen goes to sleep, and it never used to do that. And that's really something brand new. And it's kind of weird. Like, I was thinking, yeah, it's just the machine's getting old, but it works perfectly fine on an older machine.
Yeah. I'm having a really badly timed problem right now where, have you ever had a problem with keychain access where you need to recover a password or something, and you are the person who owns this keychain, and you're the person who owns this computer, and you're giving it the 49-digit string of random numbers and letters that you've chosen as your secure password for the keychain, and then it says, sorry, access to this item is restricted. It's not restricted to me, idiot. Here's the password. I'm the owner of this thing. And the problem is that I've got like I've got this really important password to my web server on it. And I had a bad upgrade to WordPress like two nights ago. And just, so I just need to like get the FTP password back so I can log in and just fix some things manually. But I don't have time to fix this keychain problem so I can get the password and log back in again. It's not, fortunately, my blog isn't a money-making thing. It's just a little bit embarrassing that people get an error when they try to access it. But it's like, my life was difficult enough after I failed this upgrade to WordPress. Why are you putting extra bricks in my backpack, Mac? Why did you have to do that? You really, you yeah. And so it's you ever hear the old, it's the old, I don't know if you'd call it a folk song, the hole in the bucket is it's a story song where someone, spouse asks the other spouse, hey, well, why didn't you get water? They say, well, because there's a hole in the bucket. Well, why didn't you patch the bucket? Well, because we're out of straw. Well, why don't you go into the backyard, get some straw because the whatever is broken. And it's basically, you can't, whatever you need to fix the next thing is also broken. So you need to fix the next thing first. And that's so much of what using any computer feels like, where all I have to do is go onto my web server and just move this, delete this one file and replace it with a fresh copy and it'll be fine. But I can't do that because I need a tool to do that. Well, why don't you use the tool? Because the tool is broken. Well, but how do you fix that? Well, you get a license code. Well, to get the license code. Well, unfortunately, the server I need to contact to get the license code is shut down. Like, I want, you know, it's isn't it so refreshing when like you find you go into like the hall closet and the light bulb is burned out? Like, finally, if I just reach up there, remove that and replace with a fresh bulb, it'll work again. I want problems like that. Linear solutions to simple problems.
Yeah, no, that's you're just totally unrealistic. Jesus Christ, Andy.
I'm enjoying the journey. Thank you, computer industry.
Yeah. Superb. I don't want to slag up.
It's like getting the Babel fish. That's what I'm getting at. It's like everything is getting the Babel fish. Printing a document, you have to get the Babel fish first. A little inside humor for those of us who are between the ages of 34 and 53.
Yeah, who remembered that the first time round as well. Not the reruns. Bloody hell. No, I don't want to slag Apple off too much with this, because I know there's, I think Yosemite
runs computers, it's not Apple, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, Yosemite runs pretty well, I've got to say.
You have an incoming call from Doc Rock.
I've got, and he's back, and
here's a new meme for you. Say something stupid on BTN, get Colonel Panic.
Oh. Oh, that's what that was, Colonel Panic. You've actually come back far, far crisper,
Colonel
though.
Colonel Panic?
Far crisper though, mate. It has to be said.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's just you want to talk smack about Apple? Somebody in developer is going, well, take this, Mr. Hawaii boy.
Yeah, it's the
Tim just pressed the big red button.
It's the Mac revenge, most definitely. Cool. So we'll leave that one alone then, because it's, I just don't want to. I get email now all the time saying you're just an Apple hater. No, I'm not. It's a bit frustrated.
No, we just want our stuff to work, and we want Apple to do their best. And I mean, if they don't for some reason, then I mean, I think it's our job to give them crap for it.
That's correct. Now let me ask you the quintessential devil's advocate question.
Go on then.
Okay. I
can already hear the emails being typed. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, because I kind of hate this question, but I've been defending it for so long, and now I'm finding I'm having a harder time defending it. I don't want to believe it to be true, and I would love to hear from Andy, because I think even Andy has spoken about it at some time. Are they trying to make the system so simple to the fact where it's becoming over cumbersome and even slower by trying to make it simple for the average Joe? And are they taking away, well, I don't believe that, are they taking away our ability to tweet? Because anybody that says that is full of crap, because there's a thing called Terminal that lets you be real. So the medium people, no, you don't get to play anymore. You either got to be all the way Brett Terpstra or all the way my granny. Like, they're, you know, I don't think that we're losing that middle guy, but yeah, is it becoming so simple that it's becoming too cumbersome?
I don't know if I agree fully with that, although that's interesting about the idea of people in the middle maybe being left behind by a lot of the moves that are being made. I do agree that I think that it's always important to not make things. I think that in the past, Apple has made some things that I thought were mistakes by focusing so hard on making the first week so easy and so effortless and so reliable and so free of frustration and confusion that they forget that at some point a user is no longer a newbie. And after month number two, month number three, you get into the position where I know how to use this now. Now I want to figure out how to use it more efficiently or how to use it in a way that's specifically tailored way that I want to use it. And that's one of the reasons why I switched from iPhone to Android, because there comes a time where I know that you're very proud of your how simple and how easy your application launcher is. But again, I've had this phone for a few years now. I know how the launcher works. Now I want when I wake up this device to have I love the fact that I'm going to be in New York for a few meetings on Monday. And as usual, the night before, I will set up my Android phone so that the home screen is essentially a Command Central dashboard for all the meetings and all the places I have to go and everything that I need to do. And it's like I'm building a custom app as a launcher just for my day in New York. And that's not even necessarily a power user sort of thing. It's more of an intermediate user thing. So I do think that Apple sometimes does that. Although it's interesting to think about where they might take the Mac in the next few years. You do see how iOS and macOS are not merging, but they're at least taking steps that are closer to each other, so that if you are primarily an iPhone user, you will recognize a lot of the functions, a lot of the apps when you transition to Mac, when you get into your office or when you get back home. I just don't want to see them ever dumb down the Mac to such an extent where you start looking elsewhere, because like I said, I still own an iPhone. I still love my iPhone. And I still have a lot of respect for the iPhone, but the iPhone became that device that it never stopped working well for me. It's just that I just start to realize that once I started realizing that every time I test out an Android phone for a couple of weeks and I put it in the box and I send it back and I take the SIM card out of that when I put it back in my iPhone, I kept missing things that I was able to do with the Android phone that I couldn't do on iOS. And I'm an unusual sort of user. I get test out all kinds of Windows machines and all kinds of other computers, and I hate to say that I've had Windows 10 installed, and I'm not even considering switching to Windows, but I'm seeing a lot of things that like, oh wow, that really is a nice way to integrate a launcher into the other experience, and oh wow, that's a great way to handle multiple displays. I really wish my Mac could do that. And I would hate to see that if Apple gets so wrapped up in design and in not simply keeping the, for lack of a better word, you have to focus on making sure that there's electricity, there's water, there's heating and air conditioning inside the house. At that point, then you can get fancy pants about how you do that. I think sometimes if Apple makes one signature mistake that I keep spotting, it's when they decide that mine is more important than something cool they could do to make it more useful.
Yeah, I think Apple's biggest issue is that they are trying to do too many things with the Mac, I think. I mean, just look at how many features they have put into OS X over the last few years. And I think the issues we are seeing are probably due to that, because they have focused more on features than on fixing bugs, and they have added way, way more complexity to everything. So it's harder to even figure out that there is a bug and what's going on. I mean, and hardware has certainly become a little bit more unreliable. I mean, especially with my Retina MacBook Pro. I mean, I've talked to engineers in Cupertino. They couldn't figure out what was going on with my machine because it was just crashing and having graphics issues, and they didn't know why. It's just, I mean, everything is getting more complicated. And
yeah, and one of the reasons behind that is that they used to be a computer company. They were not as successful as they are now, but all they made was Mac computers. And now in 2015, even when they ship a version of macOS, macOS has to support all the phones, and it has to support all of the Apple tablets, and it has to support the fitness apps that are being planned. It has to support a watch, and it has to support a networking thing, and it has to support a photos thing. And I don't think they've necessarily taken their eye off the ball. It's just that now they've got so many balls up in the air, and that is that it's harder for them to make that announcement. They did like they did with Snow Leopard, saying we are not going to be shipping anything really amazing with this new version. We are just going to give our engineers a year to do nothing. Yeah. But look at glowing embers that are on the carpet and stomp them out before they start a house fire.
I think to be fair as well, though, I mean, there's a comment in the chat room about that they don't have enough resource and they're stretched too thin. I don't think that's it. I think you look at the classic mistakes that corporations make when they merge, and Microsoft is a great example of this. They buy a section of Nokia, they buy Skype, and they buy Minecraft, and they integrate it into the Microsoft business. But then they go, wow, well, hang on a second, you know, we can use the matrix management principle here. So purchasing can do purchasing for all of those, and finance can do finance for all of those. And you start to then take a central resource and apply it to the businesses rather than the businesses being run as single entities. And that matrix management of resource is something that then... it takes away, because, you know, before, when it was a business by itself, it had a dedicated finance department, a dedicated purchasing department, a dedicated R&D department. And now that R&D department is covering four products as opposed to covering one product. And that's where it breaks down. It's not lack of resource. It's not lack of income. It's just like, well, we've got four guys here who all know this thing. We only need two of them. And, well, actually, you don't. You know, you need someone who specializes. That's the key.
From a management theory, or from a management perspective, that isn't entirely true. Apple is what's called a functional management organization. So they have an engineering department, they have a finance department, they have an HR department, and they do, each department does do everything that is in that space, compared to Microsoft, for example, where you have a Windows division and a Windows Phone division and an Office division and stuff like that. So more product focused.
Which you
and
do Apple and has you been don't.
Really right? good at that. And there are advantages and disadvantages to this style of managing. I think Apple's biggest issue is scaling that up to how big Apple now is. I mean, I think Steve Jobs said once, or at least it's attributed to him, that Apple is the biggest startup on the planet, and
yes.
I think they are struggling with that.
Well, it isn't, because I mean, I have knowledge as well of the fact that when Skype was taken in, their London operation was moved and put with Microsoft people, and the guy that was head of sales and marketing for Europe, for Microsoft, was put in charge of sales and marketing for Skype, and the guy from Skype was sent off. So it's like, you know, you don't know this product, you've just acquired this product, and straight away, well, it's sales and marketing, anyone can sell and market anything, there you go, bang. And then lo and behold, you don't sell it, you don't market it anymore. And I think there is that kind of idea of meshing of staff and right-sizing, in inverted commas, that goes horribly wrong with it. I think, and I wouldn't be surprised, I would eat my left shoe if some of that isn't true within Apple, that they've got some things where they've got a conglomeration of activity and stuff goes between the boards in the process.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said, there are advantages and disadvantages to this style of organizing a company.
Yeah. There's an error. There's a frailty, God forbid, within the Apple Watch. It's vulnerable to a theft with no activation lock. Phones and iPads are protected by activation lock. However, there's no similar thing to the Apple Watch. The passcode can be easily bypassed with a reset, wishing down the side of the button, and brings up the power options, and a force press to the screen brings up an option to erase all content and settings. Erasing the Apple Watch in this manner erases the passcode and allows the Apple Watch to be paired with a brand new device with no hint of the original owner's information available at all. To which my answer is, well, you shouldn't have taken it off and left it on the shower bench, should you?
Yeah, right before that story book, I was thinking about that. And my thinking was, I mean, how would Apple have done it? Because you can't enter your Apple ID there is no way to enter it on your watch. So how would Apple protect it? You can't, I mean... The other option would be that you have to basically unlock it with your phone, but what happens if you break your phone, for example?
Yeah, or so, if you got to voice print it. But
yeah,
to me, this is a non-story. Okay, so I meant to pull it out today, but if I have my traditional watch and someone says, give me your damn watch, you give them the watch. And my traditional watch costs about 8 Apple Watches. There's no anti-theft on that. And why is this a deal? Like, every watch you've owned up until today could be just as simply stolen. So to me, if you really want to protect the Apple Watch against theft, there's two very important ingredients to ensure that that doesn't happen. One, two. After that, you're square. Like, I mean, seriously, like, why is this a story? This is really, I need to make Apple look dumb for some reason. I need to create a problem. Like, you've always been responsible for not getting your stuff stolen. There's no anti-lock device on my car. Now, you're not going to get very far because I can call BMW SOS and they can shut the engine off. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a dumb story to me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree.
Would I wish it was possible? Absolutely. But I have to agree with you. I mean, it has worked so far with traditional watches. So,
yeah, go ahead, Andy.
Just a couple of things. Number one, that we should point out that, I mean, getting your watch stolen or losing it isn't as big a deal as losing your phone, because just by definition, and everything that's going to be on your watch is also going to be on your phone, so you're not going to lose anything. So that's the downside, not as big as losing. Oh, it was nice to have pictures of the day of my only child's birth, but oh well, I have memories now. However, it's an excellent point that you can lose a watch, you can lose pretty much anything else. It would be nice, and that's I wouldn't blame Apple for not protecting against that sort of thing. I don't think that's a fault. However, there is an opportunity for them to, wouldn't it be nice to have that extra functionality that said, look, if I am ever, if after 10 failed attempts, I'm going to brick, this device is going to brick itself. It can only be reset by being brought into an Apple store, or it can only be done after the owner proves that they are the owner of this device, because it doesn't prevent someone from swiping a watch, but it's been very, very effective here in the U.S. now that carriers working with Apple and Google, now that iPhones, basically people who are trying to steal an iPhone know that, look, if you, unless you get this into a copper bag immediately after stealing it and make sure that it gets to China or to Taiwan or wherever you need to send it to, and also work some magic upon it, this is not going to be a saleable device. Whoever you sell it to is going to be getting a device that simply lights up and says, hey, I've been stolen, I'm not going to do anything for you, enjoy this glowing Apple logo, because that's all this $500 device is going to do for you until I am addressed by the owner of this device. So it would be nice if Apple, if that feature existed. So it's one of those things where you hope you never need to use that functionality. But then when you do lose your phone, or when your phone is stolen and someone tells you, don't you know that if you go into the Google Chrome browser and just put this little, just say, find my phone in address bar, Google will find where your phone is right now and put it on a Google map for you. And similarly, don't you know that if you go into, if you log into your Apple account, it will actually find it for you and remotely deactivate it for you. Yeah. That's the sort of thing you realize that, wow, maybe my next device is going to be another device by this company, because they're really looking out for me.
I haven't even put a passcode on my watch, because I just figure the point would be, well, if you lose your watch, you lose your watch. You ain't getting it back, because you can't find it. So what's the point? It's gone. Yeah, it's gone. I mean, plus, also, I've got big pudgy fingers.
If I've read the story correctly, everything that's on the iPhone for activation lock is also on the Apple Watch. It's just not it's not implemented really.
Yeah. So the last thing we should probably be talking about is that this is a 1.0 product, and that doesn't, and usually that's interpreting that, well, it can't be everything to everybody. What really needs to be stated is that Apple is a huge company with tens of thousands of employees and their most successful tech company in the world. But still, I guarantee you that in January, there were whiteboards in Cupertino of lists of, here is everything that we plan to put into the watch. Here is what we don't have time to finish. We have to ship it by this date. We never got around to this, or we got around to it, but it's not working right. We're just going to have to say we can't do device locking that way. We will save that for the release that's coming in August. Yeah. They're very, very human. And I don't think that any of these tech companies or the people who work there get enough credit for being human beings that have to do a lot of work and not enough time and not enough hours in the day. And meanwhile, their kids are getting one day older for every day in which mom or dad is spending the day in their office trying to get the new gadget to work instead of, you know, being there for their lives. And it's a hard, hard, hard life.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a product manager. So, I mean, I can tell you with every product, there are features you just don't get around shipping, even if you want to, because you have exactly two choices. Either you can delay the entire product or you can ship it. And you have to ship it eventually because you can't delay it infinitely, because there will always be something you want to do with the, you want to put in the first version. But as I said, that, that means it will never ship.
Yeah.
Doc, you know, one thing I wanted to ask is to, maybe I just don't pay attention to the other stuff so much because I wasn't, I knew I was going to be waiting after I decided on not getting the Pebble. I knew I was going to be waiting until Apple put their foot in the game before I jumped on anything else. Did this story come out about any of the other 20 watches that are available?
No.
Nope.
There you go. So why is it, why is it always us? I mean, and I don't want to be that, not the doubting Thomas. That's not the right word. I don't want to be that, you know, you guys have, God, what's the kid's name from Fred Flintstone?
Bam Bam.
Oh, my God. There was a little short kid on Fred Flintstone Bam with a jacket that was always wore as me. No, not Bam Bam. Bam Bam was the strong guy. He was always, woe is me, woe is me. Like the whole world was crumbling down.
And, Eeyore.
But why?
not Flintstones, why, but I think we...
Why?
UK yes, equivalent.
Eeyore is perfect. Exactly. Why do they always pick something this stupid to try to throw at Apple? And I agree with Patrice and Andy. It will be a fantastic feature. I also agree with Ewan that we might see this in the second round, and we might even see a software version when you get an update. Like, this is one of the first Apple products that I've known to be out for more than a month that there's not even a talk of 1.01 or, you know, small tweaks. Also, yeah. Maybe in a concert to what all you guys were saying, maybe it was on a board feature. And it's like, let's wait and see if anybody really cares about this, because maybe everyone will see this the way they see their regular watch. No, kid, that would have been a dumb one, because no one sees anything Apple does as a regular. Like, Apple could slice an apple in half, and people would say, oh, my God, they're trying to cut away 50% of the pectin in an Apple product. Like, I don't know. It's just, this kind of stuff bothers me so bad, and I just wish this part of journalism would somewhat go away. It is a story, but not the way that people are writing it, and especially not when the first, after Mac Rumors brings it up, which for them, it's more or less, my take on them is they're just explaining it and they let it go. But Cult of Mac and 9 to 5 Mac will take it and run 43 directions from Sunday like, oh my God, Earth's gonna die. Apple won't let you lock a watch.
Thanks, mate. Just when you get it, watch out for that soapbox on the floor. All right. Rare Black Magic says it's being unfair because the Apple Watch is the only version one product that Apple have done that's actually solid, and that's fair point. Fair point.
I don't know. I'd put the iPad up there.
Yeah. Okay, iPad. Muller Bike says not as good as the Microsoft Band. There's a lot of extra stuff in the Microsoft Band though that's pretty cool. You know, like the UV meter, the sleep mode meters, and all that kind of stuff.
I'm finding it really hard to compare. The four major wearable watches, smartwatches, because I love the fact that each of these makers has a separate and important different take on what a wearable should be.
Yeah.
Where Apple is that this should be like a computer you wear on your wrist. You should never, it should be so valuable to you that you would never want to take it off. Android Wear, the whole point is that, look, the purpose of this watch is to defend you from your phone, that the phone is going to be in your pocket. If you need the phone for anything, it'll still be there. We're not going to create another screen to distract your attention from real life. Microsoft Band, the great thing is that it's a fitness band with a lot of extras. And also, I don't have to be wearing it right now, but the other cool thing is that if you know, a lot of people have made the decision to wear a wristwatch, or they have a watch that their grandfather got after 50 years of when they retired. And when your grandfather died, it passed on to your father. And then when your father died, it passed on to you. And you get, if you have Microsoft band, this very, very simple, slim black band on your right wrist, you can still wear your grandfather's and your father's heirloom watch on your left wrist, because you would look like an idiot if you're wearing two smartwatches and then you weren't a tech reviewer. And so I like the idea of Pebble being that we're going to try to make something that lasts a long, 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 long time, that tries to inconvenience you as little as possible and tries to embrace as much technology, as many platforms as you possibly can, that you don't have to choose between, you don't have to change your phone to use this watch. You're not going to be using Apple Watch is really great, but to a certain extent, it's kind of sad that it will only ever be used by people who also use iPhones, because it's a different sort of set of challenges and it's a different set of audiences when you start to make something like Microsoft Band or like the Pebble, which is, no, we're going to have apps for iOS, we're going to have apps for Android, we're going to have apps for Windows Phone. We want everybody to be able to integrate this into their lives, however they want. So, like I said, four different approaches, four separate things, and I don't really see these four as really competing with each other.
I love the screen on the Microsoft Band. My wife uses it. I don't use it, but that screen is just amazing. It's so clear and so precise.
And it's pretty, and I'm really warming. I really am warming to it. Although it's a little awkward after I started wearing it with the screen on the inside as opposed to the outside, like a watch. I'm easier to use now that I know how it works, and also I'm using it more. It's probably the most successful fitness device that I've ever tested for me, because I like, the other devices, they're pretty nice, but I have to sort of get myself in the habit. I'm going to tap this just to see how many lights light up. And that was not a good reward system, or it wasn't really a nice interaction. Whereas now every time I start a walk, or every time that I'm just curious as to what my activity is, I just tap this thing, press this button, and the screen lights up with a lot of useful information. And it really does encourage me to do more than I would have done if even with the fitness features of this Moto 360 or a much simpler fitness band.
There's an interesting point from Muller in the chat room, which I hadn't appreciated. He said the Microsoft Band, even when it's not paired to the iPhone and it's paired to the Lumia, will still send data to the iPhone. I hadn't appreciated that. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really well thought out. And also the idea that it has built-in GPS is a really, really big deal, because it's one thing to get an estimate of how far you've gone. It's another thing to, at the end of the day, see, wow, by not taking cabs, not taking the subway, I walked 6.3 miles today in New York, and I feel proud of myself. I'm going to try to do that more. And also it's the fact that it's all on board this one device, that you'd never have to take anything else with you. Then get back home again and basically have this log of where you went, that you can actually develop in a useful way. That's a great thing. The Apple Watch has a similar thing. It will also use itself so that the instructions recommend that even if you don't want to wear down the battery by keeping GPS on all the time, definitely turn on GPS for your first few runs or walks, because after being able to compare your stride with actual distance data, we will be able to dial in, connect stride to distance perfectly once we don't have that turned on. Apple Watch does that as well, but only, of course, if you have it, if you're exercising with a phone in your pocket as well. It's just an interesting platform. Apple gets a lot of crap, as you said, simply by virtue of the fact they're Apple, things that no one else really should complain about them about. But other tech companies are that as well. I think what Apple fans and Apple, a lot of the Apple press does is that they will make fun of Microsoft Band, saying, oh, you see, they just don't get design. A watch screen that's tilted the wrong way and it's so chunky. But then, okay, but instead of just making fun of the pictures, let's actually try a couple of weeks. And then you see that is a different point of view. That is a valid point of view. And there is a lot that any watchmaker can learn from the way that this device works.
But absolutely, yeah. There's tons of stuff out there at the moment, and the fact that they're all kind of vying for each other and as you say, filling different areas, different niches is kind of cool. Last story then is iPhone 6S and 6 Plus S will be Force Touch. Pressure sensitive display technology built into Apple Watch will be in the new MacBook track, and the new back trackbooks will be in the phone, allegedly. But I'm going to call BS on this rumor straight away, because I don't think that the phone is thick enough to take the Taptic Engine from what I've seen. And it's a big area to give a feedback to, as well as. And I don't. I think also if they put Taptic Engine in the screen and got rid of the home key, which is what the rumor's suggesting, I think they'd call it 7 as well. It would, they wouldn't do an S. Because that is a, that's a massive change in the form factor, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead. I've been talking a lot.
Go on, Patrice.
Well, it's hard to say, really. I mean, I think my feeling is Apple thinks Force Touch is the way of the future for buttons or for interaction with your device. So the big question is, I mean, is it possible to put it or to fit it in an iPhone? I mean, even if it gets a little bit thicker or whatever, I mean, it's hard to imagine.
My point would be, though, that the S upgrades have always been same form factor, but it's processor and its internal feature set. Whereas as something like that, you'd be like, no, this is a step change. This is not a mild upgrade that you go see. You know, it's a decent step.
Wasn't Touch ID introduced in the 4S?
No.
No?
No, I had a 4S.
No.
Yeah.
Well, okay, then it was the 5. It was the 5S. To say.
Yeah. I think
I'm agree with you, Ewan, if you just so you know. I totally agree with you. I do think it's a little bit too early to take something that still needs a lot of feedback from everyone, no pun intended, as to how they're getting on with it and whatever is, and I don't think for the way that Apple normally does things that's enough time frame from the announcement of the machines all the way over to phone. I know that the first minute I heard of this, the first thing I thought of is, oh my God, iPads and iPhones are going to get awesome. But I'm going to have to say maybe a little bit too early. And I think they would like to have a little bit more info before they jumped any further. Now, again, is this wish listing? Yeah, maybe. I mean, if it happens, I'll be stoked. I'd love to come back in September and go, I was wrong. This is so wicked.
Yeah. And Rare Black Magic in the chat said that the Touch ID was in the 5S. So it wasn't there was a bigger change in the S model. I mean, it looked, the 5S looked the same from the back and from the side, but the front changed.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I thought it was fine.
Well,
but yeah.
I do think they save the numerical increments for when they do a material line as opposed to a feature redesign. And I think the Touch ID was just such too important for them to delay it until a physical redesign. Remember that the signature feature of Touch ID at the very beginning was Apple Pay, and they were not going to wait a year in order to get that launched. It's an interest, but the idea of, I do think that Force Touch is going to be on every single Apple device. It's such an Apple thing to do, to have a feature that is not just simply unique to one mobile thing, but to make it something so that, like I was saying before, you have an iPhone, here's how your iPhone works. And now you'll be able to take that, you'll have a consistency of experience that also applies to your iPad and will also apply to your Mac as well. And it's also just such a cool, it's not a surface cool sort of thing. It's the idea of adding an entirely new verb to the user interface that has been pretty much unchanged since 2007 is a pretty big idea that not only does a click mean something, but a click with force is going to mean something else as well. That's a really, really nice refinement. I've been trying to figure out how feasible it is to take Force Touch on a small on a trackpad that doesn't have to also be a display, and Force Touch on a watch where this display is really, really small, and how do you translate that into a 6-inch screen, 5.9-inch screen, because there's no way that they're going to make Force Touch available just on the smaller one but not on the larger one. And the people I've been talking to have been telling me that it is definitely a trivial exercise, that at least the way that I understand it right now would require them to change how they build and design this device, meaning they couldn't just simply take the current iPhone 6 body and make it Force Touch. There's just no way to make that happen. There's just not enough air in that design right now to make that happen. My first thought was not so much making the entire display Force Touch, but taking the home button and turning it into and making it so that's not no longer a clicky button. Now it's no longer a clicky button. It's now a Force Touch button. They can basically, if they have a nice smooth face like that, they can reduce another mechanical component that can fail on a mobile device, and also add new language so that here's what happens when you simply touch it, here's what happens when you click it, and here's what happens when you click it but keep pressing down. But even that, I don't know if I'd put any money on it, because the button is already doing double duty as a touch ID sensor. So I don't even know if it's going to be an easy thing for them to do. But the last thing that I would say is that if the idea of implementing Force Touch across all devices is a very Apple move. Another Apple move is for them to be looking at that button, and Johnny Ive and the rest of his team thinking, if we could just get rid of that damn button and have the entire front surface of this be nothing but screen. And I suppose people still like to have like a speaker near their ear hole if they're actually using it as a phone, but we can get around that. I think that they would just be so enamored by the idea of having all the things they could design if they did not have to have that physical button down there, that I would not be surprised if that would allow them to do things like, I remember with the first iPhone where they wanted that curved bezel so much, they said, Steve, we got some bad news. To make that curved bezel that we all like, well, it's not possible to plug in standard headphones. Like, all right, then we'll just ship it with special headphones. All right, then let's ship that. I don't know if Apple's capable of doing something that stupid in 2016 or 2015, but that definitely shows you how much whenever they get obsessed, here is part of this physical design that we hate, that we'd love to, we'd love to be able to do. A lot of other interests become secondary.
Well, your point earlier on as well about Apple Pay being the key part of the fingerprint is another good reason for not getting rid of that button, because you're going to have a zone on the screen that's got to be demarked, and that would just be look horrible.
That's something I wanted to mention. I'm not sold on the whole getting rid of the home button for two reasons. One is Touch ID, and the other is the whole accessibility community.
Yeah.
Because for people who have visual impairments, this home button you can really feel and touch and it moves is so, so important, because it anchors all their interactions on the device. I mean, down to which way do I have to hold it and stuff like that. So Apple would have to come up with a solution
the Taptic Feedback Engine would be massive as well for
exactly,
absolutely.
And also just because they removed the clicky button doesn't mean that they couldn't just put a dimple in that section of the screen. I agree with you. That's one of the things that I really like about iPhone design over Android design. It's nice to have this tactical object on it so that if I'm simply fumbling for it in my pocket and not looking at it, I can still interact with it. I can still activate Siri without having to make sure that I've got it open and I've got it oriented the right way. And I would miss if there were not some sort of physical way of feeling a difference on that screen. Although wouldn't that be interesting if they had such a lock on power management that because there's a Touch ID sensor on there already, if the device was simply designed to say, oh, someone is putting their finger on there, so I'm going to create a sensation that doesn't feel like a click, but it's going to be a different sort of sensation, so they can feel that, okay, my thumb is now oriented over the home button area. It's an interesting problem.
Last word on this goes to Rare Black Magic in the chat room, who is actually blind and says, as a blind person, I hate the home button. I'd rather press volume up three times to activate accessibility options. So we have to bow to greater knowledge there.
We're speaking it in person, so we do. If we were on Twitter, we would then be entitled to say, you know, but I just have a broader perspective. I value your input. Thank you so much for getting in touch, but...
I just thought it was.
Are you only allowed to do that if you're a guy talking about women's issues? I don't know. I have to check the rule book.
I just thought that it's like guys empathizing with women there and being told by the women, no. And it was a comedic point to finish on, that we're all going, oh, that'd be great for blind people. And the blind people going, oh, shut up.
Stick to what you know. I do happen to know a couple of people who do have that problem and who do like the home button, but I don't claim to be. This is why. This is why. Like, whenever I know that I'm about to try to understand a different point of view that I can't possibly understand, I need to have people in my life who know finance, who know about accessibility, who actually rely on it every day. So you're absolutely right, though.
Yeah.
It's a different socks and different loafers kind of perspective. And, you know, there's some people like me be like, what? Loafers and socks? What is this? Are we past the 80s already? Oh, I didn't even know. Well, I mean, yeah. So because I understand what you're saying, Patrice, but I would love it if I could get rid of the home button and just triple tap the volume button. That would work awesome for me. Like, I would just love it just for the heck of it. And I want to agree with Mark Shepard. I have oftentimes in various situations turned on the assistive touch, so I won't have to use the button because I know I'm not going to, you know, not the camera's not going to be in a good enough position where I could do that. Like, if I'm using it for film, you turn on assistive touch and I'll turn it back off later. Or love it when people come in with a busted phone, you're out in the field, you got no tools, and I go, here, just do this in a temporary. And they're like, well, I didn't even know you could do that. And I'm like, yeah, they put it there, you know, as an assistive feature, but it works, you know, amazingly for someone that may have accidentally squished or got, you know, gummy something stuck in the home button.
Well, you took that comedic horse out and shot it all through of you. Thanks, man.
Hey, no problem.
Are you coming to the Bash July 3rd and 4th? It's a massive, massive time. 3rd, we'll have a curry starting at 5 p.m. But if you come a little earlier, we're going to do a Mac show at 3 p.m. from the new studios. And you can all sit in and watch live. And actually, when we do get going in the new studios, we're going to, if you want to be there live and you want to turn up and just sit down, you can, plain and simple. Don McAllister will be putting his high heels and his gloves on and doing an impression of the Queen to open the new studios officially. He'll be cutting some red ribbon and clicking his heels three times and saying he wants to be back in Liverpool. And on Saturday the 4th, we've got July the 4th. That'll be the Bash itself. On American Independence Day, we will be having a congregation to celebrate the invention of the British Tech Network. And there we go, because it is our birthday as well, don't forget. It's £20 if you want to come to the day, but that covers everything. There's no food, there's no beer, there's no nothing that you have to buy. Everything is provided for you. Just bring yourself. Even the toilets are free. There you go. But if you want to come to curry, I need a £10 deposit. Obviously, secure your seat so that we can afford the room. But that comes off your bill. So that's not a lost money, if you like. So get yourself down, please, and enjoy the Bash. Superb. Right then, fellas. Do we have any cool things? Mr. Natko, start us off, sir.
My cool thing is a cool cheap thing, and this is the Hoot, the incredibly like Chinese named the Hutu Tripmate wireless adapter. This is a tiny Wi-Fi router. That's, I mean, look how just tiny this sort of thing is. It's only like about it's literally 1 ounce in weight. And yet it is a full featured wireless base station where you just plug it in. It's powered by just any USB, micro USB power source. You can even power it from like your little battery extender pack that you happen to travel with, and it will set up a Wi-Fi, wireless Wi-Fi network that you can then attach all your stuff to. Obviously, it also has an Ethernet port so that you can also use it as a bridge between an Ethernet network and a new, brand new wireless one. It also has a USB port on it. So if you plug any kind of a storage device on it, be it a USB flash drive or even a hard drive, which it can actually power, then suddenly it will act as a networking server so that you can access all those files from any device that you've attached to that wireless network, including iPads and iPhones. And it costs on Amazon right now in US dollars, it's $19, 19 damn bucks. And it's so cheap and it's so light that it is now just part of like my travel kit that I always have it with me, because you never know when you're in a position where you thought that the Wi-Fi was going to be okay inside your hotel room, but it just doesn't work in your section, and you didn't happen to be, you're traveling with an iPad with a MacBook Air, and you don't have the right dongle to connect it to the wireless network. You're good. That's the trip I made with it. I was speaking at a conference at Yosemite National Park, where there is no, there is Wi-Fi there, but it really, really stinks. And also I was traveling with the new MacBook, which has only, you know, the one that only has one USB-C port on it. And so I couldn't, even if I wanted to buy and bring the right dongle to plug it into a VGA so I can run my presentation from it, that doesn't exist yet. They're not shipping for even now for another couple of weeks. So my, so because I had this with me, or because I planned ahead, I was able to, at my podium, create a private 2 or 3 station Wi-Fi network. I had my Apple, I brought my Apple TV from my living room. I had a VGA to HDMI adapter plugged into the Apple TV, and I was able to drive my presentation using just this and AirPlay. And yes, it was an incredible amount of work, but it, of course, I knew that I'm writing a review of it, so it'll be a funny, funny story, so it's worth all the effort. But what I'm saying is that this is really, really cool because it's cheap enough and small enough that you may as well buy it, and you may as well just put it in your laptop bag, and then you forget you have it until you're in a situation where, oh my God, I'm totally screwed. Oh wait, no, I'm not, because I have the ability to create my own private network and establish a file server on that network, and now I'm back in the game. So great stuff.
Excellent. Totally agree. Sounds fantastic. New rule, fellas, right? If you want to bring a cool thing, it can't be on Amazon, and it certainly can't have Prime on it, because I can't afford it anymore.
I thought you said Amazon Prime was free last week.
Well, apparently it's not. I got a bill this week, so.
I should mention one other thing, though. I was looking up the price to make sure I knew what it was. In the time since I bought this, they've actually come out with another one that is a combat, has all of those features, plus it also has its own 6,000 milliamp hour battery pack, so you can toss it in your bag as your battery extender, but also have the ability to create a Wi-Fi network, and that's a whopping $35.
You're never coming back.
You know, Andy, they actually take it all the way. If you need a lot of power, they take one all up to 10,400 yep. milliamps, and that's the ACM TM5. These things are amazing, and I actually have the one that you have, and I thought about switching it to one that has the battery in it, so it's just one device to carry, but I like the size of this, and I actually bought it in China. And I was like, I can't believe they don't sell this anywhere. And then I came back and found them on Amazon.
Exactly.
This
thing is exactly amazing. What I'm talking about. Every time you think that, oh, I'm coming back with treasures from Asia. It's like, dude, I really like the one you talked about. That's why I bought it on Amazon. And or there's a guy on eBay that has about 100 of them for sale at less than you probably paid. Okay. Sorry.
You know, at the bottom of the Amazon.
13 hours on a plane. Okay.
You know, at the bottom of the Amazon page, right, when you scroll down and it says people who bought this. They should have a line there that says, people who bought this also went bankrupt.
That's super funny.
Good pick. Good pick. Well done, sir. Doc, what have you got for us, man?
All right, now, I've been saving this one also for LJ Puck because I wanted him to see this. All right, so recently I decided that, you know, Ewan is having me come on every week, so it's time to upgrade the studio a little bit. And based off of recommendations from Dan Benjamin, and actually, Ewan, I think you already have one too, right? The Focusrite Sapphire 24?
No, I'm running the PreSonus.
But it's, PreSonus. It's okay.
FireWire.
Yeah. So this one's FireWire as well. Anyway, so I decided I'm going to get this cool Focusrite, and it's the greatest thing because it has the famous Focusrite preamps in it, where if you know anything about recording, it's a board made in the UK that is like 10 of them in all the best studios in the world. So anyway, in playing with this thing and doing all that kind of stuff, I started looking at more stuff that they generate. And they came up with this coolest little idea that solves a problem that drives me crazy when I watch guys on YouTube that I can tell they have some guitar talent in them. And I can tell that they have some singing ability in them, but yet they shoot the ugliest and crappiest videos on YouTube to try to get themselves noticed. I'm like, somebody has to have a way to solve this problem. Well, Focusrite has a way to solve this problem. So let me paste the old link in the chat room. And I think this would also work for anybody who's doing just standard issue vlogging or whatever. It's called the Focusrite iTrack Pocket Portable Stereo microphone and guitar and phone for iPhone video creation and sharing. So basically what you do is you stick your iPhone in this guy and it holds it up on the side. And really, that's kind of sort of almost all that it needs to do. But what you do is you have a guitar jack on the side. only because I can't do the metric conversion in my head that fast. You basically plug a phono jack in. You can adjust your levels from your guitar, your keyboard, whatever it is that you're playing. But the if you're sitting there holding the guitar on your knee, this thing has your iPhone at the proper angle to get your head in it and a guitar in it so that you can sing like a normal person and actually sound good because it has two Focusrite mics in the side with proper preamplitude that will not make you sound like you are singing in the back of a trunk of a 60s Winnebago on the way to see the Grateful Dead. Anyway, it's really, really cool. It's not expensive. It's only $84 on Amazon, and it is Prime, so therefore it's free.
Dude, you broke the rule already.
Hey, man, rules are made for breaking, homie. I'm a Virgo. What do you want?
Give him 5 minutes, for Christ's sake.
Hey, this one's for LJ Punk anyway, so you can ignore this, but I know you'll probably get one because I heard your guitar skills, bro. I know you need one. But I think this is the coolest idea, and for the longest time, I've been doing various things with tripod adapters and this and that in order to get the iPhone just right so that you can kind of vlog on the fly. But even if you're just the vocal vloggist, like I just want to say stuff and rant and send a video, you're going to get much better sound out of this than say you would doing it the traditional way, which when I do my videos, I record with a Zune H4 and then I spend time in Final Cut trying to put it back together. But this is, I can take this anywhere. I could, like Andy said, travel with it and do that TLC, like end of the day, and send it back up to her fans. So I think this is great. Even for a speaker like yourself, Andy, this would be great at a conference to sit on the podium so you could have a sort of a recording of how you're doing and you can watch it later and critique yourself kind of thing, or even make it available online for some, you know, insider friends or family, whatever. Mm. I think it's a great thing, and I'm it's already on the way.
Damn you, Rock. Damn you.
Yeah, no. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're fantastic. If you could help us out by telling them how grateful you are that they sponsor our network, then we'd be grateful ourselves. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you want to go straight in and buy some and let them know that we sent you. Make sure you use that link, please, so they know that we're the referrer. And if you want to go /sponsors instead, then you can get the offer codes, which will get you some reductions. 50% off a .london domain at the moment, which is absolutely phenomenal. And they're absolutely wonderful. And please send them a tweet or something. You know, thanks for sponsoring British Tech Network. Just take a second. One of the things that we've got, you know, we've got loads of people who listen to us, but, you know, if you guys can just take a little bit of action each week, one tweet makes a world of difference to our sponsors. And also we've got 100tb.com. They're the people that give us the live feed out to you guys. They've given us the server that the RMTP runs on, RTMP runs on, and it's from 100tb.com. Now, they're for our American listeners, not our UK listeners. They do entry-level servers from $139 a month, and the server that you would buy from them is the server that we're running our live stream off. And it's 2 second delay to the world. It is absolutely phenomenal. So thank you very much to them. They've been absolutely wonderful to us. And of course, don't forget Wirecast and Telestream, because they give us the power to actually do the broadcast software that comes off the computer. And check them out for ScreenFlow, because ScreenFlow is a massively good screen capture application. Patrice, what do you have for us as a cool thing, sir?
Well, my cool thing today is once again an iOS app, and it's a weather app. Yes, we need more of those. It's a weather app I've been using for years and years and years now. It's called Weather Pro, and it's actually created by a company here in Germany. A big, I don't know what they are doing, but they seem to be in the whole weather space somehow. They have, so far, what I've seen, the best data for weather forecasts and everything, not only in Europe, but also in the US. There's a partner in the US, I can remember, but they have really, really good data. And their apps are just, they look good, they work really great, and it's just one of the best weather apps for people like me.
Yes, Patrice.
It's available.
Yes, Patrice, because you can't beat a good-looking weather app.
Yeah, it's,
hey, but it works on the phone.
It sounds crazy, but that's, I still care about weather apps, and,
good.
Especially because I want to know what the weather on Hawaii is and stuff like that.
There you go. And I meant to say watch, not phone.
It's a fine.
It's $299 in the US and $249 in the UK. So
excellent,
it's mate. Not that expensive.
Superb. Now then, would you like one of the caricatures that we use? There you go. There's mine. We get them done by the fantastic Len Peralta. He's done 10 so far, and we've got another 10 that are going in this week. Andy Anatko is one of those 10, and Patrice is another one of those 10 that's getting done. So you guys will have your own caricature soon enough. But doesn't apply to just everyone. You can all have it, or to just us, you can have it as well. You can have your own BTN caricature. There's Arthur's and Andy's, who had theirs done a few weeks ago, and there's the one from last week that was Dan Rodriguez. He had his done, and you get the sticker bomb artwork that you can see there, so you can make a cover for your iPhone or your MacBook Pro or your MacBook Air, and also you get the banner of your choice. Batwench had hers done, and she picked the BTN Podcast Dream Team that would go up, and it goes into the rotation of banners. So if you want your company up there, if you want a local fate or something like that, some of that advertises your own website or your blog, you can have it up there, and it goes into that rotation, and it periodically comes up. They're at a random interval, so when you refresh the page at BTN, you get a new set of caricatures, a new set of banners. But there you go. That's your buy. $100 gets you that. Send us an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com, and we'll tell you how to get in contact with Len, how to get him to do a special offer for you that's only and exclusively available to BTN listeners. So check it out. And the other thing that we've got coming up as well to listen out for is we've had a long chat with MacFun and Kevin at MacFun, and we've got something really special that's coming in June. When we get to the new premises, there's going to be a little bit of a launch. And you've got to listen to that first Mac show, because there is something coming up. Promise you. You've got to be listening, though. My cool thing, I suffer very heavily with video conversion tools. So I get stuff, and I'm making in Mac, and I want to convert to WMV, because everyone, all my customers are using Windows, or they're using PowerPoint, and they can't stick an M4V file into it and have it work smoothly. So I had a load of stuff that worked really, really well, and then Yosemite came along, and all of that stuff broke. I have found a free video conversion application that works in Yosemite. And what's really nice about this is it says it's Total Video Converter Lite, but there isn't an in-app purchase. There isn't a pay to upgrade, and it does everything already. I mean, in terms of business sense, these boys are absolute idiots. But in the fact that they're egalitarian, lovely people, eTinySoft Inc. have given us Total Video Converter Lite, and it's totally free, and it converts to any format, and the resolution's good. The HD is HD and that kind of stuff, and it absolutely looks spangly, and it's quick like you wouldn't believe. I'm looking for the catch, but I can't find it. And there's no limitation on it. It's totally free, and there's no adverts either. So how the hell they're making any money, I don't know, but thank you. Please support them. Send them a donation if you possibly can. You probably isn't a link to send them a donation. They're that idiotic.
Would it be appropriate to refer to that as suspiciously inexpensive? like, oh look, here's a big roast beef sandwich right at my doorstep that I didn't order.
Yeah,
I'm gonna definitely eat that.
There's nothing wrong with Adam's connection. It's because they're absolutely downloading everything off my hard drive today as we speak. Yeah.
What's the difference between that and Handbrake though?
Handbrake is only does two M4V, doesn't it? So you can't make a WMV file from it. And that's the thing with a lot of the apps that are in the Mac App Store, you put a WMV in and you get an M4V out. So they're good at converting to Mac format. But when you want to go away from Mac format to send to Windows, it's harder. Or you can buy stuff. I mean, I've got iSkySoft, which is excellent. It's fantastic. But the output file from that's quite big, and it does take a little while to do it. So I wanted some, because I'm making a little library up for someone, and I wanted a quick conversion at 720 rather than a massive conversion that needed to be full HD. And that is just, it's blistering. It's absolutely blistering speed. I absolutely adore it. So well done. Thank you very much, chaps. Go to business school, however. Where can we get a hold of you? Mr. Anatko, thank you so much for coming, sir. Where would you be?
When I finally have time later today to get my website back up, you can find me at anatko.com. I'm going to try my Twitter handle is Anatko. You have to spell my last name, but that's the price of admission. And my columns run about 4 to 8 times a month in the Chicago Sun-Times. You can ask that at suntimes.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Doc, would where you be? I can edit, don't worry. Doc, where would you be, sir?
In about 3.5 hours, I'll be right back in the same chair doing this all over again. And other than that, you normally can find me all over the internets under at DOCROCK. And of course, you can find on BTN, like on several different shows and on MacUser.pro. And I swear I will have my voice working properly by the time I do this again.
Good man, good man. And last but by no means least, Patrice, where would you be, sir?
You could find me on Twitter at casual_kitchen. You can find my random writing at brandomo.net. Also a site where you have to spell my last name, just like Andy's. And you can find me on another podcast with Jerome and Ben called Deconstruct, where we deconstruct some of the crazy tech stories out there at deconstruct.tv.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. This was the penultimate Mac show from BTN Towers as it currently stands. Next week will be the last one. And then we'll be back on the 4th of June, 5th of June with from the new offices. And like I said, if you can get down and help out on the 31st of May, I will buy you a Kismet curry, which is not a bad curry, I can possibly say. So get down here if you can. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Job. Now, when you do the last show, are you going to like tear apart the stage like it's a Who concert?
Yeah, I'm going to smash it up. Apart from I need all the desks in the new place. So maybe not.
Oh, desks are over.